A True Report, a depiction of events in history, hosted by Peter Shorenstein. Welcome to the Best of Wednesday. Every Wednesday, you can listen to a second playing of episodes that I especially enjoyed. They go back a few years, but hey, it's history, so they're not outdated. Of course, every Sunday, you can still listen to a new episode, but right now, here's a favorite from the past. Today, another amazing tale of historical events, all true, and for the most part, unknown. You probably don't know it, but all my podcasts have a guest host. In fact, he's sitting right next to me. Every now and then, if you listen carefully, you might hear him. That's Ted, my dog, giving a shake, and I like to think it's one of approval. But who knows what he really thinks? Ted's a 4-year-old Bichon, a little white fluffy dog. My wife and daughter got him for me because they heard about studies showing you live longer, healthier, and happier if you have a dog. So 4 years ago, Teddy came along. Actually, dogs have been around for 10 to 15,000 years. We know this from canine remains unearthed. It's believed that early hunters came across a wolf pup and raised it to assist with tracking and hunting. This tame wolf would have helped not just in hunting, but to serve as a warning when danger was detected. So here we have the start of the evolution of wolf into dog. Selective breeding would have favored the desired traits, preferred size, temperament, senses, and other abilities would be favored over the centuries. But why dogs? Why didn't sheep, horses, or cattle all evolve into the wide variety we see with dogs? The sheep, horses, and cattle seem much the same worldwide, but dogs are a really mixed bag of sizes, colors, abilities, and temperament. The answer might lie in the fact that fossils show canine ancestors existed millions of years before man. They evolved in many places, living in packs, communicating through sounds, and developing the traits they would need to become man's best friend. By hunting in packs, they could gain a great advantage over prey, thereby encouraging socialization. Dogs are mostly smaller than wolves, simply because humans would not trust them if they were large enough to threaten the community. No one wanted a pet who could threaten your children. So back to my original question. What are dogs thinking about? Do dogs really love us? Their behavior indicates yes, and now we have scientific proof of just what they might be thinking about. Functional magnetic resonance imaging machines, or fMRI, were used to investigate a dog's brain, and what they found has confirmed what we as dog owners knew. It was found that the dog owner's scent would activate an area of their brains associated with pleasure. Dogs view the world through their noses, and they would prioritize their owner's scent over anything else. Experiments also found strong similarities between us and dogs in the way our brains process emotional speech. We really don't need an fMRI to tell us that dogs understand our words. Anyone who has seen an episode of the classic TV series Lassie knows that when Timmy fell down the well, Lassie would find some people to help, and she would then communicate, thus saving the child, in episode after episode. But now we know why it takes place. Their brains are wired similar to ours, thus explaining their human-like behavior. So they have the same brain structure, the same hormones, and undergo the same chemical changes during strong emotional episodes. It's safe to assume that their emotions are similar to ours, but don't go overboard. They still have a much smaller brain, and like a child, cannot develop all the emotions an adult can feel. So you come home and find the dog's head drooping down, and he's behaving in a guilty way. Then you see it, a mess on your floor. Well, he's not acting guilty or sorry. He's simply afraid. He knows you're going to be unhappy with him, and experience has taught him that bad things are going to take place. He will never feel shame. So go ahead, put him in a stroller, make him dress in an outfit. He will never be embarrassed. Next week, another amazing story from the past. To be sure to get this and all future podcasts, please subscribe to A True Report. All you need to do is go to the iTunes store and search for A True Report. When it's displayed, just hit subscribe. There's no cost involved, but you'll hear some interesting stories. I'm Peter Shorenstein, and if you like, we'll do this again next week. Until then, never stop asking questions.